Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue our journey through God's narrative, the Bible, I'd like to remind you where we left off. Last week, we had Moses' re-entry into the camp. He came down from Mount Sinai. They were worshiping a golden calf. He threw the tablets on the ground, breaking the covenant. He called the Levites and all those who were with him to come to him, and then sent the Levites in to get rid of all those who were worshiping and continuing to worship or wanting to worship false gods. Then God hit them with a plague. The next chapter begins with Moses. And Moses in this situation is a prefigure of Christ. We read Moses saying, "Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will forgive their sin, please blot me out of your book that you have written." Well, what is the book that God has written? If we go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, we find out what that book is. It is the book of life. And in that book, there are only names, no works, just the names of those who have been redeemed by Christ, by the promised Messiah. There are also other books. Those are called the books of works. And they're called the books of works because they have the name of the people or individuals and their works. And these are the books that will be used to judge those whose names are not in the book of life. So Moses is saying, "Lord, please forgive the people. Take my name out of the book of life, but leave theirs in." He's interceding on their behalf, just as Christ intercedes for us. And God's response to Moses is, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book." God holds us accountable for our sin. Then he tells Moses to go. "My angel will go before you." Ouch. That's gotta hurt, because God himself is not now going before them. He continues, "Nevertheless, in the," and understand, that's written in the singular, "in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." That day would be Judgment Day. Well, what's a leader or Moses supposed to do? Really, the answer is quite simple. God tells him what to do, just like he tells us what to do. He tells Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people you have led or brought up out of Egypt." Notice, God is still, "I'm not their God right now. You're the one in charge here with them." But God does say this, "I will, one, send an angel before you." So Moses, you're not going to be alone. There's going to be an angel leading you now. "And when you get to the promised land, I will drive out the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Moabites." He's going to drive all of the ites out. And he says that he will not go up amongst them, lest he consumes the children of Israel on the way, for they are, as he says, a stiff-necked people. So now, Moses, do what I say. Depart. Tell the people what God says, what God is doing, and what he is not doing. Now you could just imagine in today's day and age, somebody, a leader looking at God going, but God, that's bad news. The people won't like it. They won't want to be a part of your family. You've got to take them into consideration and their wants into consideration, and you need to mold it to make them happy. And yet, the flip side of it for Moses at that time and us at this time is real simple. If the people are not told the truth, what God is doing and what he isn't doing and what he expects to be done and what he does not want to be done, there is no chance for a person to repent, to turn from their sin and turn to salvation. And so when Moses goes and tells the people exactly what's happening, the result is the people heard this disastrous word, and number one, they mourned. They grieved their sin, their worship of the idol, and their holding on to the ornaments and the stuff that were associated with that worship. Second, they obeyed. They changed. We read, no one put on his ornaments, the stuff that they wore for the pagan worship. This is the first R of our three R's sermon. It's repentance. And repentance is when you acknowledge your sin, you grieve your sin, and you change. It's what that Matthew 18 process is all about. Someone's doing something wrong. They've wronged you. Go and tell them. They don't listen to you. Take a couple witnesses so that everything can be established about what is true and what is not. Still don't listen. Go to the elders. It's all about repentance. And they repented. Then we read about how things worked in the camp. There was a tent of meeting. It wasn't the tabernacle, but it was set up far outside the camp. This is where Moses would go in and talk with God. And when Moses went into it, the pillar of cloud would get up and move and go right to the entrance of the tent and place itself there. And we read, the Lord would speak with Moses. And the people would see this. And when they saw Moses go and they saw God move, we read that they would worship at the tent or the door of their tent. Moses, he goes. He's grieving because God is not with them. God is not with him. And he pleads to God, please, Lord, show me your glory. God comes back with, I can't. Because if I show you my glory, you'll die. No one can look at me and live. But Moses, I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock, put my hand over you. I will pass by. Then I'll remove my hand and you can see the back of me. But now, Moses, get up, go out, cut two tablets of stone, come up the mountain to me. And Moses did, and the cloud descended back on Sinai, And God did put him in a cleft in a rock, put his hand over him, passed by and proclaimed, listen, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses responds, Lord, please pardon our sin and take us for your inheritance. Inheritance? Yes. Heaven. To live with him. And God restores them. The people repented. Moses interceded. And there's the second R, restoration. God says, I am making a covenant before all your, they're still your people, Moses, all your people. But then God says, it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. That's God's part of the covenant. And the awesome thing, he's going to send Jesus. That's the awesome thing, to take care of the sin once and for all. But the people, they're part of the covenant. God tells them, observe what I command you this day. And then there is the regiving of the Ten Commandments. And with them, God says, I have made a covenant with you, Moses, and with Israel. And he gave them a physical sign again. Moses, his face started to glow. And when he came down the mountain, the people could see him coming down out of the deep darkness of that cloud because his face was shining like a beacon. And every time that he went to that tent of meeting to meet with God and the cloud went there and he came out, his face was glowing. Which brings us to the third R. We've got repentance, we've got restoration, and now we have rescue. It's found in that word inheritance. And with our names in the book of life. When we go to our gospel reading this morning, which is at the very end of Matthew chapter 24 and 25, where Jesus describes the last days. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living in the last days and we have been living in the last days ever since Jesus rose from the dead. He did everything necessary. So this is the end. It's the last days. There's not another time period after this. He also speaks of the end times. And that's what happens at the very end of the last days. We could say the last of the last days. He comes. And when he comes, he separates the sheep from the goats. And notice how it's done. Those whose names are in the book of life, they are the sheep that are separated from the goats. They are the ones who are rescued. And there are the books of works where there's names and your works, your sins. And it is those works by which you are condemned and you are off with the goats. To the sheep, Jesus speaks, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. We're rescued because Jesus did everything for us. And please note, that word inheritance is a powerful word because you don't work for an inheritance. It is something that is passed on to you, given to you, and you acknowledge it. It's my inheritance. It's what's been given to me. It's not I earned it, it's been given. And when it comes to an inheritance, since it's from your mom and your dad, you thank the Lord for them. You honor them because it's their work that is giving you the inheritance. And so it is with us, those who are rescued because we've repented and God has restored us. We are rescued and we honor our Father, God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. And we obey all that He has told us to do. And we give Him all the glory for what He has done. And we thank Him for our inheritance, because it is His work through His Son, Jesus Christ, that has rescued us. Just as Moses interceded for those people and their relationship with God was restored, Jesus intercedes for us, has made full payment for us. And we now are rescued and look forward to our heavenly home. May we rejoice that because of Christ, our name is in the book of life. And may we bow our heads in humble adoration and yet lift our heads up high and our voices up high and praise Him and thank Him for the marvelous work He has done. In our Savior's name, amen.